Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma-jyoti effulgence, and as the all-pervading superstar dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in a transcendental attitude, just as a devotee wants him. So here is distressing that, as Krishna is saying that, how much do you really want me? I'll give myself to you that much. But I would like to also include some of Prabhupada's additional comments that describe how this is actually only a little bit of it, that it actually gets sweeter. Not only that Krishna is so pleased to respond and give us equally back what we want, but even more so. I think when you all first came to the temple, I remember one of the first things in the first weeks that was told me that if you take one step towards Krishna, he'll take 10 towards you. So you can multiply that by 10, not accordingly, but he actually will give you more. So you're getting more for your money. So the more you desire, the more he desires to satisfy you. And I'm sure we've all experienced that. You can see that sometimes, if you look back and wonder how you came to Krishna consciousness, you can see that as soon as you got a little bit interested in spiritual life or knowing God, then all of a sudden all these arrangements started to happen, right? All these different puzzles of pieces went together, and before you know it, you found yourself in the Hare Krishna temple. Because Krishna has an interest in us coming back to him quickly as possible in this lifetime. And he's very anxious to have us back. So he rewards us more and more. If you go to the Back of Godhead this month, we'll advertise in here, and you want to hear a really good story of how someone came to Krishna consciousness, the magic of how they came to Krishna consciousness, read that article. It's really, really amazing. And so we see that even in how Srila Prabhupada came here to the United States and started this whole Krishna conscious movement, actually gave us this opportunity to be with Krishna, how amazing, how magical it was. How Krishna arranged everything just the right time, the right place, the frustration of the youth at that time, everything. And actually we'll be able to witness that very soon. I think it's going to play in the theater near us very soon, right? You have a date for it yet? Not for Gainesville. What's the first one in New York? June 16th. Get your tickets. Go see the first wonderful full-length movie of how Prabhupada came here and started this movie, and all about the magic of Krishna consciousness. So it's true. It's happened, and it's happening all over the world. That Krishna's arranging for those who have just a little bit of interest to come to him, because he is so sweet. He's so kind. He wants us back so much. And then there's another thing that Prabhupada has said that shows how wonderful Krishna is. But he says that the son might forget the father, but the father never forgets the son. And so we chose to forget our Supreme Lord. And we left out of envy or wanting to be the Supreme Lord ourselves, left and came to the material world thinking we could enjoy without him. And we forgot, completely forgot Krishna for how many lifetimes? Who can count? Spider bodies, plant bodies, fish bodies, here we are now, right? But Krishna never left us. He wasn't far behind. Actually, he was right in our hearts the whole time. Not forgetting us. Although we forget him, he never, never forgets us. And as soon as we choose to remember him, he's right there for us, right? Immediately there for us. So we can see how sweet we are. And then, the thing that actually inspired me to speak about the sweetness as Krishna was that I was listening to a lecture, or I read it somewhere a couple weeks ago, I can't remember where, but Prabhupada was saying how the goal of Krishna consciousness is somehow or other that we can remember and think of Krishna 24 hours a day. And he said, and Krishna will think of you 26 hours a day. How sweet is that, right? That Krishna is so kind that he's going to make the time, he's going to find the time to think of us. If we can just somehow or other get that desire, like it's described here, get the desire to see him, to be with him, to please him, and then he will be more than anxious. He will stay up late at night just thinking of us while we're sleeping. So this is how much Krishna cares for us. I know that some of us are wondering, who's going to care for us when we get older? And some of us are scrambling to figure it out before it happens, that we're going to leave our body. So, but Krishna will be there. Hopefully, this kind of has something together also. But for some of us, might not make it. But anyway, Krishna will be there. Because Krishna cares about us so much. He cares 26 hours a day. So in other words, you can call on him any hour of the day, and even more, and he will be there. So we should take advantage of this and try to remember him all the time. Try to think of him all the time. And the process is there. There's 9 processes of devotional service. You can choose from any of them. Hearing and chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping the lotus feet, remembering, so many different ways we can practice Krishna consciousness, and gradually we will begin to remember who we really are, that we're simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. So, of course, Prabhupada always stressed that this chanting is so important. That it is the process by where we can hear and remember very quickly and very easily. And so we should increase the quality of our chanting such that, not that it's just background music, but actually we're hearing and responding with Krishna to his holy name. There's a nice verse. It says, whosoever attains the stage of enthusiasm for these devotional practices will be supremely blissful wherever he may be. So this is another one of those guarantees from Krishna, that if we just take to these processes, especially chanting, then that magic will come. And just to show you an example of magic, yesterday I went to a birthday party. And I'm leaving, I was given a little box, a little present, and inside were sweets. Krishna's so sweet. And stuck on the sweets, very cutely, was this little message. And it said, Krishna's name is the sweetest of the sweet things, the most auspicious of auspicious things, the transcendental fruit of the vine of all Vedic literature. O best of the Buddhas, chanted even once, either with faith or contempt, it delivers the chanter. This is from Sri Vyas Pajavali. So, I was thinking of this class, and there I get my little box of sweets, and there's this thing all about how sweet chanting is. So, you can see that all around, Krishna consciousness is very sweet. Especially this chanting is so important. When I took a japa reform class one time, I remember Bhojan gave different keys to chanting. Because chanting can be hard. Has anyone experienced that it's a lot of work and it can be difficult to control the mind, to remember Krishna, right? I think we can all say there's been some times when it hasn't been all bliss. But we do one thing, and that was one of the keys, is we keep chanting. That's the most important, is keep chanting, that the magic will come. And the last key was to remember that Krishna always loves you. So if you keep chanting, that this love that Krishna has for us will bring us to where we can eventually love him and get that taste through the chanting. So it's very important that we keep chanting. Of course, when we first chanted and we came to the temple, Krishna has like a promotional treat for us. Sometimes he gives like a little extra dose of magic, right? To give us that super injection of taste of Krishna consciousness. He gives like a complimentary taste so that we all just like experience the love of washing pots for the first time, right? That complimentary taste is there. Just sweeping the floor for Krishna is ecstatic, right? So now years are going on, and where's the magic? You're wondering, where's the magic? Where is it? How come it's not coming all the time? But if you remember that verse I read a minute ago, it said, what was the key word? Whoever so attains the stage of enthusiasm for these devotional practices. So we should review our practices, especially our chanting, and see how enthusiastic are we chanting these days? How enthusiastic are we just to hear the holy name, not be distracted by anything else? Especially that computer and that phone that's sitting in our pocket, blinking, right? So we have to make sure that enthusiasm is there. And not that Krishna is just a spice that we sprinkle on top of our life here now and then to make it a little spicier. But that actually Krishna is there in all of our decisions during the day. Right? He's there when we're chanting. He's there when we're taking care of the devotees. So we have to see how enthusiastic we are to surrender, as in this verse. And if they surrender to me, I will reward accordingly. So when someone says, would you like to wash the pots? And you think, oh, no, of course I'd like to wash the pots. Yes, how enthusiastic are you to surrender? So we have to keep that enthusiasm high. And that, of course, helps by associating with devotees and engaging in devotional service and always remembering the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and to become very committed to keeping in touch with Krishna all the time by taking all these processes very seriously, especially the chanting. When you think about it, when was the last time you really cried out for the need of Krishna during your chanting? When do you have that gratitude in chanting because something went right that day? Or if something went wrong, how did you thank Krishna for giving you that little spanking that you needed and that little lesson that you needed to learn? So there's so much we can, how deep we can go in the surrender process. And as the deeper we go, the magic flows more and more. It gets richer and richer. And we get such a nice taste that we can see that in this lifetime, if we really cultivate that desire for Krishna, that he will reveal himself to us. So it's extremely important that we introduce other people to Krishna so that they can start this process of reviving that nice reciprocation of bhakti with him. So by introducing them to him, we also advance, because Krishna says, anyone who preaches this message will become very dear to me also. So you can even add more brahma points onto all those other ones that Krishna is so kind to give. So because when someone finds out Krishna, this is the place to come to learn all about Krishna. Just like in your school, you may have had to go and find out the history of Mr. So-and-so, who was a great personality in American history or something. You had to go to in those days when I went, you had to go to the Britannic Encyclopedia, which was like, you know, took up half your house and cost you $3,000. But now you just go to your phone and you can look up the lifetime, the life and activities of that person. You can find out what he looked like. You can go visit his birthplace. There's so many things you can do to find out about that historical person. But to find out the most supreme person, the character, the lifetime, visit him, see him, talk to him. This is the place right here. Everything you want to know about the Supreme Lord is here. And see how sweet it is to come in front of him every single day to chant his glories and to remember him. So we have to take it very seriously to bring other people to Krishna consciousness, so that they don't miss out. Everyone does want that pleasure, that magic, but they're looking in definitely the wrong place. And once you have that little taste, then the attraction to service grows and grows, so much so that your taste for the so-called material, dry pleasure, it goes away. Srila Prabhupada was very proud when he could say, yes, these are my disciples. They used to be addicted to so many things, going to cinema, doing this and that. But now, they're simply addicted to chanting the holy name. They want to chant 24 hours a day. So this is some of the side effects of Krishna consciousness, of actually losing our taste for the material world and becoming completely engrossed in Krishna's business and remembering him at all times. I was just listening to a lecture a few minutes ago, if I can remember. Papa was saying that yet Krishna is supporting us all the time. He's always remembering us. Just like in the jail, the people that actually went against the laws and everything, who's supporting those? The government. The government supports all the people in jail. So in the same way, we love Krishna and we're against him, but he actually supports us by giving us the spiritual master, by giving us this wonderful process and giving us his holy name to take part in chanting. So don't ever think that you can't call on Krishna 26 hours a day and receive the greatest pleasure and the greatest knowledge of your lost friend, of the sweetest friend you ever had, and that's it's Krishna. So I would like to just maybe read this song. I don't think we'll chant it, but you want to put it on the board? It's called Adaram Maram. And then maybe, okay. Can you go English? Or is it in between each one? Well, it's going to be in between each one. Can we get different people to read the verses? Can we have volunteers to read the first verse? Start over here and just go around. Somebody, Richie, can you read the first verse? English?
His lips are sweet, his face is sweet. His eyes are sweet, his smile is sweet. His heart is sweet, his body is sweet. Everything is sweet about the Lord is sweet.
Number twos. Do you have a mic that can travel around? Can you someone just go around and give it to somebody? He'll say the next one. Can you give it to him?
His words are sweet, his character is sweet. His garments are sweet, his navel is sweet. His movement is sweet. His wanderings are sweet. Everything is sweet about the Lord of sweetness.
His food is sweet, his dust is sweet. His hands are sweet, his feet are sweet. His dancing is sweet, his flesh is sweet. Everything is sweet about the Lord of sweetness.
Somebody else? Somebody have the mic?
I can read. His singing is sweet, his yellow dress is sweet. His eating is sweet, his sleeping is sweet, his form is sweet, his tila is sweet, everything is sweet about the Lord of sweetness.
We can all say the last line together.
His activities are sweet, his vibration is sweet, his eating is sweet,
his words are sweet, his offerings are sweet, his peacefulness is sweet, everything is sweet about the Lord of sweetness. His Gunja Mala is sweet, his flower garden is sweet, his Jamuna is sweet, his ripples are sweet, his water is sweet, his lotuses are sweet, everything is sweet about the Lord of sweetness. His gopis are sweet, his pastimes are sweet, his meeting is sweet, his food is sweet, his happiness is sweet, his etiquette is sweet. Everything is sweet about the Lord of sweetness. His cattle boys are sweet.
His cows are sweet. His herding stick is sweet. His creation is sweet. His trampling is sweet. His fruitfulness is sweet. Everything is sweet about the Lord is sweetness. How sweet it is. Any of the old people would love that. So, any of you have any questions about this Lord of sweetness, or how sweet Krishna consciousness can be? Or how maybe someone can tell us how we can make it even sweeter? Wow. Okay, go ahead.
The topic of the class. There's a phrase by Prabhupada that I hear being quoted often, and it goes like this. Health is number one, chanting is number two, service is number three, and then comes reading. So I wanted to ask...
What comes last?
Reading, and then comes reading.
Reading.
So I wanted to ask, what is your interpretation or your opinion on that phrase?
Many different letters with different orders of things. So I can't comment on that one and not comment on all of them. So I think if you see him, he did comment that, you know, if, like, you can't really speak Krishna consciousness to people that are starving and hungry in the same way. So if our health is not good, it's harder to chant. So there is that there. And many other times he said chanting is most important. So maybe he just didn't have health on the list. I can't say, but there are many different lists, so but it all goes together. The chanting is way up there, and if you are healthy, it's definitely much easier to chant. So therefore, if you practice chanting when you're in good health, then when that bad health comes, you're better prepared. Anything else? Anybody else want to say anything about that? Another question?
Yeah. So, how do we see the sweetness in, like you were saying, Krishna's stances, like you get into an accident, or our child drowns, or so many different things can happen along the way?
Sometimes it takes a long time to see that. We don't really understand Krishna's and his arrangements, but we can understand that he is protecting us, and he's minimizing reactions to some results that we should probably be having a much heavier reaction, so we can be thankful that it's minimized and pray for that understanding. At least we can pray to Krishna and respect him that he's the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend. And somehow or other that this has happened, but he still remains that supreme friend. So it can be very difficult, but at least we have somewhere we can repose our thoughts on those things. Correction of the teacher for the next class. I was remembering the first instruction, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning about the analogy of jaundice. When we have jaundice, we don't feel the taste of sugar candy. However, we have to keep taking the sugar candy, and once we are out of the disease, we'll feel the taste. Like that, if we keep chanting, we feel the taste even though we don't feel the taste. Faith has to be there, that it will come. Sometimes we find people that don't have the patience or the faith, and then they give up on the chanting, and then they're swept away by Maya. But if one has to be patient, I mean, look how long we've been continuing in this material world. We can't expect to be cured overnight. So it might seem difficult at times, and it might not be juicy sweet all the time, but we are very diseased when we come to Krishna consciousness. And like I said, we get that little special taste, but then we might feel sick again later. But we have the faith and the philosophy and understand the science and hopefully believe that Krishna is sweet and that we just have to keep chanting and it will taste better and better. And I think as the years go by, we find that it does get sweeter and sweeter. This is my viewpoint.
Thank you.
Now we can go taste the sweetness of Krishna's food. And also the sweetness of Krishna's chanting. We have lots of nice chanting during the teacher, so everyone can take part. And please come to the Rocky Acha next Saturday and distribute this wonderful knowledge and this wonderful process to everybody that we meet. Hare Krishna.